بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, developing on the Fajr reminder of yesterday's which was about making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a partner in your business, a partner in your life. I spoke about it from the context of business, but think about that also in your life. As I told you, this is not, don't ask me for a Quranic dalil for making Allah a partner in the business, but there are plenty of anecdotal incidents and anecdotal stories of people who did that, and obviously without an exception did extremely well. As I told you, this the issue is, do we really trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As I told you, if I was starting a business and if I got a message from, one of the billionaires of the world, whoever, right, Bill Gates, whatnot, to say that he would like to be a 50% partner in my business, believe me, I would be delighted. There would be people who would say, please, most welcome. Instead of a red carpet, let me lie down and you can walk over me to enter the office. And, I'm so delighted that you want to be my partner. I'm greatly honored and so on and so forth. And the reason for that is because then the person feels that, okay, now I can't go wrong. I can't possibly go wrong because I have this great and powerful billionaire as my partner. And, this issue is not a question of just how much money you have. Money means something. Money means power. Money means authority. Money means the ability to get things done. Money means to be able to have many more options and choices than somebody who does not have that money. So money is not just a bunch of banknotes. It's what it represents. And it represents a great deal of things in this material world that we are constantly hungering after. So we would be very, very, very delighted. Now, of course, we forget the fact that the person who became my partner might drop dead the next morning, and his heirs might choose to say that, well, my father was your partner, I'm not, and I have no intention, no desire to be your partner, so you're on your own, goodbye, right? Any of that can happen. Any of that, the person may not even drop dead, the person may just lose interest, you may have expected a lot more from that person than that person was prepared to give. And believe me, the bigger the person, the more powerful that person is, the more easily he or she can let go of you. Because if that person decides to walk out of that partnership, for them it's no loss. It's okay. I mean, that's like, going for a, maybe for them it's like going for a meal with a friend. That's how much they would spend on a high-class meal, in a high-class Michelin star restaurant, for example, right? So for them, it means nothing. So they can walk out anytime they want. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, none of these things apply. Now, the question is that how come, despite the fact that we are Muslim, despite the fact that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have this reluctance? And the short answer to that is because we don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell me, how do you get to know somebody? Right? If you make friend with somebody, you meet this person. You have a very nice first meeting. You really and truly like the person. That person seems to like you. And you would like to develop this relationship. So what do you do? You see more of them or less of them? You spend more, or you try to spend more time with them or less time with them. You try to learn more about them or less about them. Right? You pay attention to them, or do you ignore them? What do you do? I mean, you just think about this. Just take it as an example to learn. What do you do if you want to build a relationship with another human being? Right? We know the answer to all this. I mean, I'm just asking you dumb questions. If you want to build a relationship with a person, with somebody else, then you spend more time with them, you learn more about them, you pay more attention to them, you try to please them more, right? You try to show to them that you are worth their while for them to relate with you. I mean, why should the person like, I mean, you may like the person, you may want to be their friend, but why should they want to be your friend? So you want to show them that. You want to show them that without them having to ask for it. So that person also feels that, oh, hold on a second, I think this is a good guy. You know, I think I should spend more time with him, or I should know him better. You do all this, right? Now, my question is that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are we doing? Are we spending more time, or even those of us who pray the first salawat, is it just we pray the first salah in as short a time as possible and we get out of there? What do we do? Right? I'm just sticking to salah. I mean, this, of course, it applies to everything else in life, but just looking at salah, what do we do? Do we pray more or do we pray less? Do we pray more nawafil? Do we pray tahajjud? Do we recite more Quran or less Quran in salah? What do we do? Right? In terms of tilawatil Quran, why do we take the time and trouble to recite more, learn more, memorize more, or less? Which one? We just think about this. Think about how many of us today we are in our 50s and 60s. I'm not saying we should be Hafiz Quran. Alhamdulillah, if those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted his kalam to, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve it for them, and may the Quran be their Hafiz, because the person is never the Hafiz of the Quran. The Quran is the Hafiz of the person. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran firm in their hearts and bring their lives in line with the kalam of Allah, because the purpose of the Quran is not merely to memorize it, but to live our lives according to it. A person who memorizes the whole Quran but does not live his life according to the Quran is really in trouble, because, you know, he will be questioned. Whereas a person who memorizes just one ayah and lives by that, a person who memorizes just one small surah and really lives by that, is far better than the person who memorizes the whole Quran and does not live by that. So, alhamdulillah, the issue is to live by the kalam of Allah. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came for us to live by it. So, my point is now, if I want to build my relationship with Allah, what must I do? Two things we must do. First and foremost is we must spend time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning we must think and reflect we must reflect on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must think about him. We must read about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and elsewhere. We must look around ourselves and see then recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creation. My brothers and sisters, we have to go nowhere, believe me. I mean, alhamdulillah, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits and gives the opportunity to travel to different lands and see the different ajaib and gharaib, all the different, marvelous things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. All of those people are fortunate. Alhamdulillah, that's good for them, whoever is able to do that. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me the opportunity to do that in many places, alhamdulillah. And I've always tried to take some photographs and so on and share with you guys. But the point is that you don't need to do any of that. You can be sitting in your own house, and if you keep your eyes open and if you reflect on the glory and majesty of Allah, it is right there in front of you. I remember in Hyderabad, I think I mentioned this in one of our Fajr reminders, we had this enormous storm, very unusual. We had winds. Later on, they said the winds were over 100 miles an hour. It ripped off on top of our building. We had a big 5,000 liter water tank. It ripped it off its moorings. It was sitting on a concrete base. It ripped it off and it smashed the tank. The tank literally was cut in two as if somebody had cut it with a sword. In the just in front of the masjid, in the open courtyard, we had grouted on a steel frame cover over the open courtyard that got ripped off its cover, and we had torrential rain. Now at that time there was a nest of pigeons in my balcony in one corner. And I saw this nest had, we had gone out somewhere. We usually try to, you know, prevent pigeons from making nests because of the mess they make. So I had, we had gone out somewhere, and this pigeon took advantage of that, and it built its usual, you know, highly untidy. Pigeons are miserable nest builders. So just a few twigs and a few leaves, and there's some grevillea trees, so some dry grevillea leaves and twigs. And this pigeon laid two eggs, and she had two small chicks. And that is the time when this happened. And I saw when this happened, when I came out, I couldn't even come out onto the balcony because it was, you know, torrential rain, huge winds. And so it was not, I couldn't open the door. I was afraid of the whole house getting flooded. So the glass door was shut, and there was a gap. This is a sort of folding glass door, so there was a gap between two of the glass frames, and I saw this mother pigeon. She inserted herself between the two glass frames so that she was safe from the wind and rain. And I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, what is happening to her chicks and eggs? Surely they must have been destroyed, they must have been smashed, blown away. Not the eggs, the chicks were there. They couldn't fly, they have not yet, they had hardly any feathers. So I'm thinking to myself that, you know, this pigeon, obviously, poor thing, she is saving herself, but her nest and her chicks are finished. But you know, when I when the storm ended and this pigeon came out of there, I went out on the balcony, and there was this nest completely untouched. Not a single dry leaf had shifted from it, from the place. Not even one dry leaf, and not even a single twig had shifted. Those two chicks were safe in their nest, right? So I'm thinking to myself, Subhanallah, here is this pigeon. She is in this place, and wallahi, she must have made dua and said, Ya Rab, you know, I have no control over this thing now. Save my children. Because only you can save. Because I have no control over this thing. And she came and she saved herself. And then she must be making dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who listened to the dua of this bird on his arsh. Subhanallah al-Azim. If I have the pictures of this, I will send them. And Umair will send it with us for the reminder. Take a look at that. And the reason I mentioned is because it's the same storm which blew away a 5,000 liter water tank, and it ripped out the covering from over the foyer of our masjid, but it did not touch that nest. Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhanallah al-Azim. You do not have to go anywhere to recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are all around you. So how do you build a connection with Allah? By recognizing His signs. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.